This is an interview with Norma Paulus at the Oregon Graduate Institute. The interviewer is Clark Hansen. The date is 6/2/99, and this is tape 6, side 1. So you were talking off tape about the frustration you were having.
Well, think about this, though. If in the 70s, if you wanted to get a message across, or from 67 on till the mid-80s, if you wanted to get a message across in this state and discuss policy, and you wanted to make yourself known, how would you do it? Well, even if you had all kinds of money, it would be difficult to buy enough television time.
Yeah, it'd be very expensive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and plus, the television stations probably wouldn't put it on because they were, they had bigger markets then.
But couldn't, I mean, in terms of...
So then radios, how are you going to get on the radio? Well, you could run spots if you had money. But that's really not going to get you elected because you've got to put a face with the name and to meet people. Okay, if you go to meet people, where are you going to go? Let's say that you're in Portland and you want to meet the people of Deschutes County. Where are you going to do that? I mean, the Democrats were the first ones to go door to door, and they were able to do that because they didn't have jobs and they were younger. But the insurance men that were running for the legislature had a family and they had a job, so they couldn't go door to door. You know, they didn't have the luxury of doing that. Well, anyway, if you wanted to, you couldn't possibly go to every door in Deschutes County because you lived in Salem or you lived in Portland. So how would you do it? How would you get your message out? You could run an ad in the paper. Who'd come to see you? Nobody. So where would you go? You'd go where people gathered, right? That's
sure.
been the tradition.
Mm-hmm. And where would you go to what kind of organization in Deschutes County would you go to?
You'd go the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, you laugh, but this is very serious.
No, I know it is. I know, but I'm laughing because of the situation. I'm also laughing because of the hypocrisy.
Now, exactly. The Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Now, the chambers in the 70s were bad because throughout the 70s, with the Vietnam and Nixon and all of that,
right.
the chambers lost clout.
Yeah.
But the Rotary Clubs, all the respected businesses in town belonged to one of the Rotary Clubs. Kiwanis, the Lions Club, and let's see, there's another one. Rotarians, Chambers. Well, there were some Grange Hall meetings in areas. That sort of thing. So whoever was your campaign manager would try to book you into those things because each one of those men, and they were all men, each one of those men that came there had his own little circle. If he was a service station owner, he had his own circle of friends. Well, I met this broad from Salem. She sounded pretty good to me. She grew up in Eastern Oregon, so that's the plus. You know, or you could, all these people, it was a network. You could use their networks to get your message out. So they were extremely important to political people or anybody that had a message, whether it was about health care or a new way to impregnate a cow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you did it. Well, there were no women there. So you'd go to the Zonta clubs and the professional women clubs, but they mostly met in the evenings because these women all worked. And they were small. And they were small in number because most women were home.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But this must have been particularly difficult for Republican women because it seems, at least my perception, especially at that time, that the Democrats and Democratic type of people had more sort of social issue groups that were, whereas the Republicans, I think, are more perceived as business groups, and if you want to get out into that Republican community, the business community, that you have to go through business organizations to be able to
Well, to reach network. The workers, you would have to go to the sawmills. I went to every sawmill in this state, every single sawmill in this state.
For which election?
Every mill.
When
I was running statewide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I stood in all kinds of shift changes. And Henry Casey, one of the three heirs to the UPS fortune, stood at the shift lines with me with his cane. I mean, he died when he was 104, so he was 90-something then. Or you had people walk you up and down Main Street. But when I ran the first time, the mayor of Silverton refused to take me up and down Main Street and introduce me because I was a woman. And he told me that. He said, well, I said, well, you know, you and I agree on all these issues. He was just lovely to me in his home and at social gatherings, but he would not take me down the street as he'd taken Mark Hatfield and Packwood and Molly Carson.
Because it wasn't proper for a woman to be running for politics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've come a long way.
So it's interesting.
Taking a step back from that point, when did you realize that you were going to be involved in running for elective office?
Mm.
At what point did you think that this was going to be something that you'd be doing?
Well, the more I got involved, you know, in the Boundary Commission thing, and that then I was introduced to the whole decision-making process in a formal way, and as an appointed person, and I think there was something written about that at the time that most appointed bodies did not have the authority we had, and that was certainly one of the concerns of the ultra-conservatives. But that and the fact that I found out that I was very good at getting people to see my side of things and working for things. So it just seemed like a natural consequence of my involvement. Plus, I wanted to have something to say about what was happening in the state.
So, looking at the other things you were involved with during that time, I mean, by the time you were on the Salem Area Human Relations Commission in '67, okay. were you did you know at that point that you'd probably be running for an elected office?
Uh-oh.
Then, when you
with
got
Wally Carson, when we got Wally Carson elected to the Senate. I went to him and said that I was going to run for his seat. I remember we went to lunch at the Marion Hotel.
Is that 68?
Well, no, because I've ran all the year of 70, so this would have been late in 69. Maybe it was when he was still in session. I can't remember, but he met me at the Marion Hotel in the Oak Room, and we went to lunch. And I told him that I was going to run for the seat, and he said, Norma, Marion County will not elect a woman. And whenever he introduces me or we're in the same podium or something, he always tells this story. He said, I want to tell it because Norma's going to tell it. But that's what he did say. And I told him, I said, well, I think I can get myself elected. And then I'd run countywide because it was the last session that the House was chosen. We started single member districts in 73. So it was a very interesting challenge, but I campaigned every day with the exception of maybe 5 days for a year. Spent $5,000 the whole year and won very handily.
So this was, you had to run countywide at this point then, but it was for the 11th district, isn't that right? Or elected that was the district.
No, we did, you weren't elected that. I can't remember what the district was, but they elected, how many representatives did we have that time? You were, there was a slate. I was just a representative of Marion County. I don't think we didn't have slots then. I can't remember the official designation on, but.
Didn't you have positions that you were running for within the, like there'd be Marion County, Marion County position one, position two, that kind of?
I think so. I can't remember, but because it was meaningless other than casting the ballot. But after reapportionment, then I ran for District 31. But it was very interesting because I had a monastery, a nunnery, a strong Catholic farming community, the pulp and paper workers who were organized, a big hospital that was gaining a lot of employment with different issues, a university, the burgeoning Russian community, the Chicanos, which were becoming more militant, then the business community of Salem. So it was a real mixed bag. And then the timber workers up the canyon. So you had to appeal to a lot of different people.
Now, the position that you were running for had been vacated by LB Day, isn't that right? The research I did, it somehow I have down here that he had resigned his position to become Northwest Coordinator for the U.S. Department of Interior.
I don't think so. I think it was Wally's. Who ran for Wally's seat? When Wally was elected to the Senate, Wally was elected in 64 and he served two terms in the House. And then he ran for the Senate.
68. So it would have started in 69. So somebody had to have been in there in 68.
Right. So we had Jack Anionson is the man I was trying to think of on the land use. Uh-huh. Jack Anionson and the other guy. Keith Burbage was elected senator. Wally Carson was the senator. When I first started, I can see him now, he's a Democrat. He became ill and he committed suicide. Cornelius Bateson.
Cornelius Bateson. Mm-hmm. Corny. Didn't they call him Corny?
Uh-huh.
So that's who was in there then?
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think. And LB became McCall's Director of Environmental Quality.
Well, when you decided that you were going to run, then what were your main reasons for running? Was it a more of a personal thing, or were there certain goals that you wanted to accomplish, or did that all sort of blend together?
Well, I'd gotten so involved in these issues, mm-hmm. and it just seemed like something I should do. I just made up my mind and start asking people to help me.
So was it for accomplishing these issues, these goals,
right,
these things
right.
that you had that you wanted
and
to get in there?
Mm-hmm, the environmental issues.
Uh-huh. You didn't see yourself as entering a whole new political career that you were going to be pursuing from that point on?
No.
You thought maybe you might be in the legislature for some time and then go on
right,
to other things.
Right. I was still very drawn to the law at that point. I loved the discipline of the law, and I loved thinking about it and talking to people about it.
So what happened to your law practice while you were running?
Oh, well, they just had to go because there was no time. And then once I got myself elected.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what about your kids while you were campaigning?
Well, I was home, you know, I campaigned during the day and while they were at school, and then come home at night. So, and then when I was gone at night, well, Bill was there.
Right. And did you have a particular strategy for winning?
Yes.
What was your strategy?
Well, at that time, coffees were very effective because there were still women at home. Many, many women were at home. And strangely enough, it wasn't men that I had to sell at that point. When I ran for governor, there were numerous polls taken that 15% of the people would not vote for a woman for governor under any circumstances. And a lot of them were that women. Well, when I first ran for office, it was the woman in my own age group that was well-educated that was my biggest obstacle.
That were well-educated?
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them were better educated than I. Most of my friends had gone to college and either almost graduated or graduated and had seen their husbands through school and professional business, and they were the hardest sell. And it's somehow threatened their existence. If they said it was all right for Norma Paulus, who was happily married and had two children in a nice house, and it was all right for her to do it, what did that say about them?
I see. So they took it on as a personal
attack,
insecurity.
On,
mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, the early part of the feminist movement was underway, and women
well,
were wearing bras.
Well, it wasn't here. It wasn't at that time. There were in 1971, women's issues were not an issue. There were nothing. It was 73 that we burned the place down, but not in 71. As a matter of fact, if you'd ask me in 1970 what I thought about the feminine mystique, I would have said, I don't have time to read frivolous things, because I'd never felt that I'd been discriminated against. I certainly wasn't in law school, with the exception of one time. And I'd been offered legitimate jobs with law firms, and I was treated, not in a summary fashion by men I dealt with. So it wasn't until I decided to hold myself up for politics that I got hit right smack in the face with sexism, and it turned me inside out overnight.
When do you
I
remember when you
so
first encountered
angry.
That?
Well, the first blatant part of it was the Silverton mayor, but the other things that had happened where so many people say, well, when I'd say, I'm going to run for the legislature and I want you to help me, the first thing they'd ask is, well, what does Bill think about this? And the other thing that was interesting is we've had a coterie of very, very close friends for a long time. And we've had our children together, I raised our children together and everything. And when I was asking them to help, they didn't know, I mean, that our lives were different than their lives because I was a professional and I was running for this office. So they didn't know how our marriage worked. They just knew it did. They could see that it did. But they didn't understand it, you know, because the men would have been threatened if their wives had said they wanted to do what I did. But it worked. And then when they started having children, their children got to be teenagers and the girl, you know. So they evolved very quickly into that. But when I first started to run, I just went to my closest friends and said, you know, can you help? And they got excited about it. It was just like the Packwood thing. I tapped into all these people, most of whom were close friends of mine, that were really bright women, and they found it exciting. And they had all kinds of talents to bring.
Was it hard for them to do it for other reasons, because of their husbands not?
Oh, no.
That was okay.
Yeah, that was all right. Mm-hmm.
So you put these people together. You had a committee, or
right.
Or
mm-hmm.
How formally organized was it? Was it did you have a
oh yes,
structure
I had a
that,
chairman, Barney Rogers, who's Jerry Frank's partner in the Konditorei in Salem, and he was an insurance agent. Time he and Bill had grown up together, and he was a great organizer. He is my first chairman. Oh yes, we had a very good structure. We had all kinds of parties. The campaign parties became a thing, you know, that nobody wanted to miss. It was so much fun to be involved in it.
Mm-hmm. How many people would you say were involved in your first effort to get into the legislature?
I don't know, but my neighbor Ann Lyman, who's still my neighbor, organized. I can't tell you how many coffees all over the county, and. We always had a man who was also an insurance agent who wanted to meet people anyway. I no longer have any respect for him because he left his wife in serious problems. But anyway, we would have him. His name was Art, and he was an insurance man. We would have him, or my committee would have him meet me, get to the coffee at least 10 minutes before I got there. And because we wanted a man to introduce me to these women, because it made it seem more important if a businessman would take the time out of his schedule to come and introduce me. So at these coffees that went on for a year around the county,
wow.
Sometimes 3 and 4 a day, he would always be there. They'd mail him the schedule every week, and he would be at the coffees and introduce me, and then he'd leave, and I'd see him at the next door. and then I had 3 women that designed all my political material, and I've never had a professional do it as well as they did it. And I was really the first one to use stickers. Bumper stickers were certainly part of the game, but we took it a step way beyond that, because they came up with this great logo, and it was black and white because it was very striking, and it was cheaper to print in black and white. And then we made it in all different sizes: little squares, big things, small things, little tiny stickers like this. And they became so popular with school kids that kids would come to the campaign meetings to beg their moms to bring the stickers home so they could put them on their notebooks. And one of my friends had a little Beetle Volkswagen, and her kids begged her to let them cover the Volkswagen with these stickers, and she agreed to it if Norma would take them all after the election, which I did.
Oh,
with
no.
The kids. But they covered this Volkswagen, and she was beginning her real estate business then. And so she was all over town. So they were all over.
Who's your primary opposition?
Well, I had, in the primary, I had 3 men. One was Sam Brown, and one was I'll think of his name. He was quite a character. He was always down at the legislature on gun control. I'll think of his name. Just meant I really liked him. He was a member of the Posse Comitatus and everything, but he used to come to me with all his problems, and I always tried to help him. I want to say it isn't Rex. It's it'll come to me.
Okay.
Anyway, and he wore big turquoise jewelry, big hat, goatee. He was just a wonderful character. Anyway, there was a third person, a third man, I think. No, I think there were 3 of us on the ballot, and those 2 men ran against me in the primary. then the general election, my first election, Michael Dye, Mike Dye, who was a very good-looking, handsome, very handsome man, Democrat, a new lawyer, and the Democrats thought he was their hottest ticket, and he was. And the unions really got organized behind him. So Mike Dye had a lot of union money behind him and made an excellent presentation on issues and had a really good campaign. So about 3 weeks before the election, Bob Smith, who was speaker, called me in and said, "Norma, we've got a labor poll that shows you losing." And I said, "I just can't believe that." And he said, "Well, we've got it here. We've got a copy of it." So he showed it to me. So he said, "How can we help you?" And I told him that, he said, "I'll sign a letter for you, or Monty Montgomery will sign a letter for you, or Clay Myers," Clay Myers was a big player then. And I said, "The only thing that would help me in my, in my efforts would be a letter from Tom McCall." So Tom said he'd be happy to do it, but the envelopes had to be hand addressed. So I called up my neighbor, I just got a card from her the other day asking me how I was doing, and she said, just signed it, "The General." We nicknamed her The General because for 4 nights and days she was in my dining room. And Bill and I would leave in the morning, and we'd come home at midnight, and there'd be a different round of men and women there, and big jugs of wine on the table, and they'd be hand-addressing all these. So we did. We hand-addressed all he said, "If you can hold a Republican majority, you've got it made." So we got all the addresses of the Republicans in Marion County, and they hand-addressed all of them. And some of the circuit judges came in at night.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, is it even proper for a circuit judge to be involved?
I don't think so, but a couple of them were there.
Well, that's
late in the evening, signing letters,
Jeez.
Drinking wine, laughing.
Well, and I had that down here that this was
anyway, I won very handily. The other thing I did is on a Sunday morning, we called I think 12 couples, and we said, "One or both of you, we need one or both of you to show up at the house on Monday morning," or something like that. And so we just asked them. We said, "Just what any time you get a chance, say something positive about me the next few days and stuff like that." Anyway, we did a lot of things like that. Parades, all kinds of parades.
Parades, really?
Mm-hmm. Fairs, county fairs, round.
I mean, obviously you must have been exhausted from doing all this, but did you enjoy it as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was right up my alley.
Mm-hmm. And 1971 was a big year in terms of who was coming into the legislature. Mm-hmm. Knew there were a lot of...
I was absolutely exhausted, and I had to have a hysterectomy. Uh-huh. And the doctor, he said... In September, he said, "Norma, you just have to have a hysterectomy." And I said, "No, I was very young to have a hysterectomy." And he said, "You just got to." And I said, "No, I can't. I can't get off the campaign trail." And he said, "Well, so I don't know. I was down to, I lost a lot of weight by the time I finished it. But just a few days after my election, I went into the hospital and had a hysterectomy. And then I was mostly stayed in the house until I went to the legislature. And the lobbyists that wanted to lobby me came and lobbied me in my house. I remember that.
Yeah. Right after the election?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had down here that this was House position number 4 of Marion County, and that you got... 23,383 votes to 20,128 mm-hmm. for Democrat Mike Dye. Mm-hmm. And also that you were the second woman elected for Marion County?
Yes, the first one was elected the year I was born.
Huh?
And she just passed away, Hannah Hansen.
Oh.